Morning, church. Scripture reading will be coming from Book of Genesis, chapter 3. It'll be verse 6 through 8. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 through 8. Give everybody a second. Scripture reads, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good, for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves naked together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." May God add a blessing to the hearers and the doers of his word.
Robe and crown.
2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 8. I urge you therefore to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Amen? I'll say good morning. It's good for us to be here. And just before we start this lesson, we want to do a little quick and dirty commercial there that we're starting two new lessons. On Sunday morning, it'll be Brother Patrick Sill teaching and following Jesus. And on Wednesday nights, the lesson will come from 1 and 2 Samuel. On Wednesday nights, two new lessons that we got going on at the beginning of this year. So if you have the opportunity and time, please be a part of that. We can learn to edify each other together in Christ. You know, I wonder sometimes how many people have not been ashamed. How many people have not shamed someone else? How many people have spoken words of shame, much to their own detriment? You know, growing up as a little boy, you often hear that phrase all the time. The phrase says, "What a shame. What a shame it is." I want you to imagine standing before God and time and eternity just has no bearing at all. And we stand before God in a world that bears no scars of times gone by. And we stand before God in a world that is just unblemished. You know, today it would be hard for me, maybe even for you, to dream of a place as wonderful as Eden was. You know, I listened to the brother's prayer this morning. The Holy Spirit is just so wonderful. And his prayer was a sermon. Amen. It would be hard for me to just dream of a place as wonderful as Eden, for it had the freshness of God's creation right there. The most beautiful and bountiful paradise that man could ever behold, right there. And although God's earth wasn't a perfect creation, Eden was very different. It overflowed with an abundance of beauty and with life. That word Eden means a place of delight, of pleasure, of bliss. Eden means simply the paradise of God. But the real beauty of this garden was that it was man's house. It was where man lived. It was his home. And what a beautiful home it was. From the beginning, man knew the difference between Eden and the rest of the land outside. For God had given him a place that far exceeded the rest of the earth. Now, God didn't give him a palace made of silver and gold. God didn't give him a house made of ivory or brick or wood or whatever it is that man could make a house of. God put him in the most beautiful and peaceful place of all, in paradise. Paradise, a garden that was planted by God. Paradise, a garden that was furnished by God. Paradise. Imagine that. Adorned and made beautiful by God himself. Every species of vegetation and fruit and berry and nut was there. Everything to satisfy the taste and the nourishment of man. Man had need for absolutely nothing. Every tree, every shrub, every bush, every flower, every plant imaginable was there in Eden. Had its own height, had its own width, had its own color, had its own leaves, had its own bark, had its own fragrance. I mean, just imagine the aesthetic beauty of this place. It had to just be unimaginable. I can't imagine Eden at all. And I read about it. But I just can't seem to imagine such a beautiful place. When I look around the world that we live in today, I can't imagine Eden. And I want you to consider that in the middle of all this beauty, God brought all the animals to Adam for him to name. And so Adam, as he researches their nature to give them an appropriate name, it dawns on Adam that every living animal has a companion just like itself, except him. He's living in the most beautiful and peaceful place that God has ever made, and he is alone. Even though it was a perfect world, God said it was not good for man to be alone. So God took a rib from Adam and created woman and presented the woman to man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And some people have said that when you look at the phrase, "This is now," is an explanation of delight. Like he says, "This is now, this is you giving me this woman, wow, what a delight." And even today, God has given us man and woman, and we still choose to be alone. It's not good that man is alone. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. And the first two chapters of this book of Genesis show that God granted man and woman a unique status and a unique responsibility. Rocks were made to roll and rivers were made to flow. But they were bounded by gravity, you see. Flowers would bloom and trees would grow because of the built-in genetic codes that God had given them. Lions would roam and eagles would fly in accordance with their divinely given instincts. But man and woman, while subject to gravity, genetics, and instincts, God gave them uniquely enriching and challenging capability of choice. God gave us choice. And that keen sense of choice, that keen sense of morality is surprisingly evident in all people. Even the most immoral people have their own idea as to what is right for them. And amoral people who don't believe in morality, they've been known to complain loud and long if they feel they're being treated unfairly as well. Because we have a choice. Everybody says we have a choice today. And we do. But this moral sensitivity should not be regarded as some late development in man because God says the tree of knowledge of good and evil was introduced right from the beginning. And man's ability to respond to it was there immediately as anything else was there. We were given a choice right from the beginning. God breathed life into man. He gave him the tree of life, and he gifted man with the ability and the liberty to make a choice between life and death. God gave us that from the very beginning. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The most descriptive thing for me in this narrative, for me, may not be you. The most descriptive thing is in Genesis 2:25. The Bible says, "The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." They had nothing about which to be ashamed, because Eden was a world without shame. Didn't they belong to one another? Their bodies belonged to one another, and together they belonged to God. There was no guilt. There was no shame, nothing whatsoever to hide from each other, and they had nothing to hide from God. Because, you see, shame carries with it the idea of fear. But Eden and all its inhabitants existed without fear, because Eden had no shame at all, none. It was a world that didn't have any shame, but it also didn't know how to blush. Jeremiah spoke of Israel and their rebellion against God when he said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nah, they were not ashamed at all. Neither could they blush. You know, Ezra in Ezra chapter 9 had a different attitude. Oh my God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. And Moses writes to us yet again. And Moses says these words. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the sound of the Lord as God was walking in that garden. You know, when you think about being without shame, it carries the idea of openness before one another and openness before God, no shame at all. So just imagine standing before God in a garden, bare, naked, and without shame as you walk and talk with God. But that doesn't exist anymore, you see? That doesn't exist in the world that we live in anymore. Yes, we bear in front of God, but we're not walking and talking with God in the midst of a paradise any longer. As a matter of fact, the only way that we can speak to God today is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1-2 says that God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God speaks to us today through Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God speaks to us through Jesus Christ. And this same Jesus, when he was at the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, after he was arrested, this same Jesus says, we don't speak to man the way that we spoke to him in the garden any longer at all. He says, because I spoke openly to the world. I taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always come. Listen to what Jesus says. And in secret, I have said nothing. Nothing. So I'm going to walk and talk with God, and God's going to talk to me. That means he's talking to me in secret. Everything that God has written was written for us that we might learn of his word. There are no secrets. It's all open and bare. Forever, O Lord, Psalm 119:89, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever is settled. It's already written. Let me give you one more. Because people want to walk and talk with God in the garden today, but the garden is not here on earth any longer. Isaiah 45:18-19, for thus said the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, he says, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret. I haven't done it. We want to walk and talk with God and claim to be Christians, and we bare naked out here, full of sin, in this world. In this world. The most powerful thing on this earth that God placed in Adam's hands was not the power to talk to God back and forth and walk in the garden with him. That's not the most powerful thing that he gave him. It was the power of choice. And there was no power outside of them that had control of this power. No one had the power to overrule man's power of choice. God had created him free. The choice was his and his alone. No one had the power to overrule another man's choice. Our lives today are the products of all the choices that we have made, some to our shame. But every choice we have made are the products of our lives, even today as we live on God's green earth. There was a movie called Dead Man Walking. It's about a man that was on death row, and when he was headed down towards the place of execution, the guard used to call out, "Dead man walking." Those living in sin today are dead men walking. And it didn't take long for Adam and Eve's sin to show up to the detriment of a beautiful relationship they had with one another. It didn't take long for that to show up in the detriment of a relationship they had had with God and with the world around them. God said that man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Why? Because he takes from the tree of life and eats, that means he will live in sin forever. So because of the grace of God, he banished him from the garden so he wouldn't eat and be living in sin, separated from God forever. That's the grace of God. So he put an angel at the opening up the garden so he wouldn't go back in and eat and die eternally. One obscure thing I see when I look at the narrative in this story is how passive and docile Adam was. It appears that Adam was with Eve when she was tempting him, and he never spoke up. The people always blame the sin on Eve, but Adam was right there. Look at it. He's the head of his household. He never spoke up. But the woman attempted to answer the serpent. She gave some consideration to him. She even gave him the scripture where God said, if we eat, we're going to die. And he changed it. And all we hear about Adam is, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And he ate. If only Adam had made the right choice and not sinned, Lord, where would we be? Sometimes I think in my own mind, because sometimes we tend to go back to our childhood days and we fantasize some things as well. We want to get a little tea poured out and drink the fake tea and eat the mud pies. Sometimes I think in my own mind, if I were Adam, I would choose life over death. That's what I think. But I want you to know this very day, today, you have a choice between life and death as well. And every time you sin, you choose life over death. And much to our shame, what do? We sanitize sin so it doesn't sound so bad. But it's the same three-letter word that is the difference between life and death. And every time you sin, every time you transgress God's word, every time you sin, you stand exactly where Adam stood. An eternal consequence of sin and shame. Ashamed before God, you stand. Ashamed before your wife, you stand. Ashamed before the world, you stand. You're standing with a burden that's much, much too heavy to bear. If there was front page news back then, the front page news would have carried a shameful story of two boys. Not from the same city, but from the same family. One son turned out to be pretty good, but the other one turned out to be a murderer. Why? Because of the choices that they were made. They had the same parents. They had the same opportunity. They had the same choices, but it was with opposite results. Why? Because each one of them had a different attitude about sin. And that attitude led to the choices they made in their lives. God gave us a choice. And we sin seem to want to run and hide from God when the choices we make are bad. We don't have to make those choices. There are dire consequences when it comes to sin. You begin to see the dire consequences of Adam and Eve's sin in the life of their children. You know, my heart sinks sometimes when I think about it, because I can only imagine and wonder what they thought and the pain they felt as they stood over the grave of Abel. Think about that. Adam and Eve stand over the grave of one child that was murdered by another because of choice. Choice. But God told Cain, he knew. God told Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lying at your door. And desire is for you, but you have to rule over it. We have a choice to deny the shameful and deadly consequences of sin. We can rule over the sin that's in our lives. We don't have to be ashamed before God in this world. We don't have to be a sinful people. We can be a godly people where there lives no shame at all. Well, all is calm and we lay in the bosom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he rescues us. And he saves us. And we become conquerors of all those things that beset us and stain our soul. We are not ashamed before God, for we are Christ's children. Let me show you what that narrative does. In the book of Genesis, God asked Adam and Eve three questions after they sinned. Here are the questions for you. Question number one, where are you? When God came to visit Adam in the garden, he called out to man, where are you? Adam says, well, you know, I heard you in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. You know, when somebody's in sin and they see somebody else that they feel like is righteous, and they see him in a store and they don't want to, they had been gone from church a little while, you see him doing a little ducking, don't you? They're trying to hide. They're not hiding from you, they're hiding from God. Because they're naked and bare out there in the world filled with sin, so they try to duck and hide, duck and cover from God. Got a question for you this morning. Where are you? Are you afraid and ashamed because of the sin in your life? Or are you hiding from God? Ask yourself that question. Hebrews 4:13 says these words. Neither is there any creation that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You can't hide from God. Amen. Can't hide. Here's the second question he asked him. Who told you you were naked? Who told you that? Listen, has anyone ever told you today that without Christ, you stand before God naked? But it's not without shame, nor is it without sin. You stand before God stripped naked today, filled with sin and shame. Not to the glory of God. In Isaiah 47:3, Isaiah preached stripped naked to God's people for 3 years. He's naked out there as a vivid visual illustration of Israel's condition. Isaiah said to those who were in rebellion to God, your nakedness will be exposed and your shame will be uncovered. I will take vengeance on you and I will spare no one. Let me tell you something, growing up as a little boy, sometimes you became a victim of those cruel, wasn't a spanking, wasn't a whipping, it was a beating. Sometimes you had to take your clothes off to get a whipping, remember that? Go in that room and get yourself naked, I'm coming. And look at they got the biggest stick they can find in the world to beat you down with. And you came out looking like a welt. Because you had did something that transgressed the commands of your parents. We stand before God naked, and we should be ashamed of the sinful behavior, language in our lives. Nahum chapter 3, verse 5, God says, I'm against you, declares the Lord Almighty. I will lift your skirts over your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. Who told you you were naked? Question number 3, God asked this question. Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? How many did they have eaten from the tree? How many? Every time we sin, every time we choose to sin, we have chosen to eat that forbidden fruit. Every time we sin, we stand in the mire of shame right where Adam stood. And the consequences are the same. We die. Ezekiel 18 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. Verse number 21. But you see, God is a God that loves us. Naked or not, he loves us. It's not a choice that you can make in this world that God will not forgive. Understand that. It's not one. God will cover your nakedness. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them. The Lord said, man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. You see, before they had picked a couple fig leaves and covered their own self with. And that's what we out here in the world trying to do now. We're trying to cover our own self with our own clothing. With all this physical stuff, we mask all the sin in our lives. We go get all this stuff and try to cover up all of our erring ways. But God comes along and he takes away those fig leaves. He says, this is not what you need to cover with. God covers us today with the blood of his darling son, Jesus Christ. He covers your shame today with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Today, we have the opportunity to put on Christ and cover up our nakedness. We don't have to be ashamed any longer before this world, before God, and before our fellow man. God will cover us in Christ. For you all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, naked and full of sin, have put on Christ. Or doesn't God cover us? Oh, he covers us. When God took Moses up to the mountain, he says, Moses, you can't go in, but I'm going to show you the promised land. And the song says, and he covers me there with his hands. Oh, God covers us with his own hands. He covers us with his son, Jesus Christ, that we might not know sin at all, those of us that are in Christ Jesus. For his blood takes it away, church. So why do we stand in the place where Adam stood, full of shame, full of sin, not wanting to make a move, not wanting to make the choice for God, but we want to make the choice for ourselves, for this flesh, for things that we don't need. What we need is rescue. What we need is salvation. What we need is God. In Ezekiel's day, God was pleading with his people because they were choosing death. So God said to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn from their ways and live. He says, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 18:31 says, rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you choose to die. We have the same choices today that Adam had, to live with the correct choice or choose to disobey God. We have a choice to walk with God or to run and hide from God. We have a choice to have a relationship with the new Adam and live, or with the old Adam and die. 1 Corinthians 15:21 says this: "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Old man Adam, new man Christ. We have a choice to live or to die. To be ashamed before God in this world, before our fellow man, before our wives. Why are you ashamed of me? God asked that question. Why? The answer is because of the sin in my life. That's why. Because of the choices that I have made. I am ashamed. But Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God for salvation for everyone that believes. From the Jews first, even to the Greeks. For the salvation that comes from God is the power for life," Paul says. Only if we would make the choice to follow that gospel of Jesus Christ and not our own gospel. Everybody wants to write their own narrative about God. It's already written. Today you can choose to live with Christ, or you can die without him. Jesus came to set us free from shame and from shameful sin. John 8:32, everybody knows it, right? "If you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Free from what? Free from guilt. Free from what? Free from shame. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from death. "You shall know Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus Christ shall set you." New man Adam. Looking at a movie some time ago where a man had committed a crime. And he committed that crime because he was angry and upset. He was trying to protect his daughter from the egregious sin that had happened to her. She had no one to protect her, so he did. And he killed a man. In the course of that story, one of the lines in that story read it like this. It said, "Set him free. Turn him loose. Let him go." We find ourselves making choices where we just can't be set free because we don't want to be set free, because we continue to make the same choice over and over. Amen? When are we going to make the choice to follow God and just be free? Imagine standing before God. Before the God of time and eternity, in a world that bears no scars of time gone by. Imagine that. I want you to just close your eyes and picture that. Standing before God in a world that bears no scars of time gone by. Imagine standing before God in a world that's unblemished. Imagine standing before God in a world that's not bounded by shame, because somebody wants to make you shame, don't they? All the time, somebody trying to make you shame. What are they trying to play you today? After you imagine that, now imagine going back to that place once again. Revelation 22:1-2 says these words: "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of that great street of the city. Oh, on each side of that river stood the tree Man, don't you want to go back there? On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing. Boy, don't we need healing? The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Oh, we got a lot of people that need to be healed of their shame and the sin in their lives this morning. And we've got a choice that we've got to make if we're going to have that healing. It's too much of a burden for us to have to bear. It's Adam's shame, you see. Not only is it Adam's shame, it's our shame as well as to our detriment. Because we've made the wrong choices. When we look in the mirror, this is who we are. This is what we see. But God says, I don't want you to look in the mirror. I want you to look in the face of Jesus Christ. And in Christ, I want you to see me and not be ashamed to call me your God. For I'm not ashamed to call you my children. You see, it's the grace of God that has saved us. It's grace through faith. It's not of yourselves, and then you had nothing to do with it at all. It's a gift of God, you see. So when you hear God's word, hear God through his word. So faith comes by hearing. You can walk all you want out in this earth. You're going to hear a whole lot of things. But you want to hear the voice of God? Look into his word. That's where it's at. You're going to find yourself in the cool and calmness of life as you look into his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing only comes by the word of God. You got to believe that. You got to believe it. And this is a commandment that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness of himself. He that believeth not God had made him a liar because he believed not the record that God gave of his son. That he speaks to us only through his son. You don't believe that? And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his son. New man Adam. No shame. None. Only salvation. Got to repent of our sins. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, they that are whole, they don't need a physician. But the ones that are sick, I came here not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came to call the shameful to repentance. I came to call those that are standing in the mire of an evil and dark world. I came to call them out of darkness into light. I didn't come here for the righteous. I came here for the self-righteous. Amen? He came here for me. For me, I can't stay. I can't talk about y'all because I'm in the same boat. Amen? Same boat. I'm mired in shame. I'm steeped in shame before God. For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But we got to hear his word. We got to believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the true and living God, John 8:24. We got to repent of our sins. We got to go and learn what the meaning is. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous, but sinners unto repentance. We got to repent of our sins. We got to confess Christ. A lot of people don't want to be shamed before God. They don't want to be shamed before nobody. Oh, I'm not ashamed. Blatantly, they do it in your face because there is nothing but evil inside of them. Darkness everywhere. And they will not blush. But if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness and shame before God. And shame before fellow man. And shame before our wives. And shame before our husbands. And shame at work. Shame in this world. We need to be baptized in Christ for the remission of our sins. Knew ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. New man Christ, old man Adam. We no more old man Adam. We walk in the newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that all that we shall also live with him. That's the choice you have to make, church. The other choice? Well, you know the narrative. I don't think I have to tell you that. Because we're here for the reason of living a life unto God. Let's not be ashamed as we live that. Let's live it. Let's walk with God in the light of his word. And let his glory just shine in our lives. We can do that. Adam's shame was one of a miserable and a terrible choice. We have to live with it. Let's take our responsibility and live with it. And let's do something about it. If we can help you to come to Christ, to make that choice, to rid yourself of the shame, why don't you come as we stand and sing God's invitation song. Oh, man.